host, Chase Geyser. We've got another hour together. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give out the phone number. I don't know how many calls I'm going to get to tonight. Probably just a few because I'm having so much fun listening to my own voice. It's 877-789-2539. I'll definitely get to some. So it will not be in vain if you call. 877-789-2539. Finally, 877-789-2539. And I mean, this just goes on and on and on. I don't even know where to begin. We've been on air for an hour, and I feel like we've been hitting it pretty hard. But why don't we go into clip 40? New David Sacks speech after the signing of the Genius Act establishing U.S. crypto dominance. I want to go into this clip because I was talking about the dangers of CBDC in the last segment and showed you a moment of Donald Trump renewing his commitment to ban CBDCs in the United States of America. Some have been critical of the Genius Act, stating that it does the opposite. But let's hear what David Sacks had to say in clip 40.
Thank you so much. All right, thank you, President Trump. It's a great honor to be here, and it's true that I'd never expected to work in government at all, and then everything changed after President Trump came on my podcast. And I accepted this job as CryptoZoar because I thought it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to work for a president who really wants to get things done for the American people. And if anything, that's been an understatement. The first 6 months of this administration have been more successful than any administration in American history, what's been done. It's just been incredible. President Trump has worked at tech speed. We're used to working fast in Silicon Valley, but even this is fast for us in Silicon Valley, the speed at which you move, President Trump. It's really incredible. And now today, you have another historic legislative achievement that is a monumental step to fulfilling your promise to making the United States a crypto capital of the world. This Genius Act will unlock American dominance in the crypto industry by creating clear rules of the road. It will update archaic payment rails with a revolutionary new payment system, and it will extend U.S. dollar dominance, like you said, globally, by creating a digital dollar that people all over the world can use. And for every digital dollar in a crypto wallet, there'll be a traditional dollar in a U.S. bank account, which will create trillions of dollars of demand for U.S. Treasuries. So that is the power of this bill, is U.S. dollar dominance. This is a huge promise made and promise kept by President Trump. And there's just a few other people I'd like to thank. First, my family for being here. Thank you.
It goes on, and he says thanks, and it's super
and,
nice.
And look, Bo Hines, who
that's
President
the real
Trump
conflict right here. These are the little clues that you get in the media that tell you what's really going on. These little tidbits. You start to realize when you see patterns, it's like connect the dots, and then you see the whole picture. He mentioned how this was crucial for U.S. dollar demand and dollar dominance throughout the world, which is why we're in a conflict with China, which is why we almost went to war with Iran, which is why we almost went to war with Pakistan when they bombed India, which is why we're at a proxy war with Russia right now, which is why the terrorist attack on October 7th happened. It's all about protecting the dollar as a global reserve. And I know it's boring, and it's economics, and it's Austrian economics versus Keynesian economics. And it's fun for libertarians to sit around and drink an IPA and talk about what system would work the best. Dream up a utopia. Dream up just policy and infrastructure and checks and balances. But you got to keep in mind, if you got ideas for a constitution, you go to war before you write it. Our founding fathers went to war before they even had a new government. And we've got so many people sitting around talking without going to war. So I'm calling upon you now to enlist in the information war. Join the information war. Fund the information war at thealexjonesstore.com. The sales are absolutely incredible. They end tonight, 25% off store-wide. And I just got news from Alex. I was gone a couple of days last week. He's freaking out. We're freaking out. There's a new receiver, apparently. We're thinking InfoWars could be shut down this week or next. We don't know. I know we've said that a million times. It's always been true when we've said it, but by the grace of God, it's been divine intervention keeping us on the air. It's been you keeping us on the air. But this is the best way to ensure that no matter what happens to this place, we stay on the air. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Dragon attacks from skies above, but Alex holds magic inside of his glove. He mixes No lies, no cover-ups, just truth. It's Tomorrow's News Tonight with Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tomorrow's News Tonight. I am your host, Chase Geyser. I will be getting to your calls. The board is absolutely lighting up this Sunday evening. I do appreciate it. I was going to show you this clip. Yeah, I'm going to do it. So it ties into everything we've been talking about, and we're about ready to take calls that are going to be relevant to this. The most important key to the conspiracy case against Obama, Brennan, and Comey, Joseph Mifsud, is a mystery man who started the Russia hoax. He's mentioned 89 times in the Mueller report. But who is he? Who's he connected with? Where is he? Let's watch clip 44.
Mr. Durham, this seems to all started with one person, but I don't see his name in your report. I see it in Mueller's report 89 times. Who did Mr. Papadopoulos meet with that gave him this supposed Russian information?
When Mr. Papadopoulos was interviewed by the FBI, he had identified Joseph Mifsud as a person who had provided him that information.
Did you interview Joseph Mifsud?
We attempted to interview him. We pursued every lead that we had. We talked to a lawyer that he had in Europe, but we never were able to
make contact with him,
so we could interview him.
Do you think he's a Western source? Is he associated with Western intelligence?
It's hard to say who Mr. Mifsud is associated with. He was tied up with Link University. Mr. Scotti, who had involvement in the Italian government, and
they were acquainted.
It's hard to say who Mifsud.
I'm going to yield the remainder of my time to Mr. Gates.
Hard to say who Mifsud is. He's the guy who started the whole thing. We've known it for years. Go ahead and play the video.
When the special counsel's office interviewed Mifsud, did he lie to you guys too?
Can't get into that.
Did you interview Mifsud?
Can't get into that.
Is Mifsud Western intelligence or Russian intelligence?
Can't get into that.
Well, I'm reading from your report. Mifsud told Papadopoulos. Papadopoulos tells the diplomat. The diplomat tells the FBI. The FBI opens the investigation July 31st, 2016. And here we are 3 years later, July of 2019. The country's been put through this. And the central figure who launches it all lies to us. And you guys don't hunt him down and interview him again. And you don't charge him with a crime. Maybe a better course of action is to figure out how the false accusation started. Maybe it's to go back and actually figure out why Joseph Mifsud was lying to the FBI. And here's the good news. Here's the good news. That's exactly what Bill Barr's doing. And thank goodness for that. That's exactly what the Attorney General and John Durham are doing.
Well, Mr. Durham, was that what you were doing?
I'm sorry, is that what?
Was finding out who Mifsud was what you were doing?
We pursued that avenue, yes.
Right, but this whole thing was an op, Mr. Durham. This wasn't like a bumbling, fumbling FBI that like couldn't get FISA straight. They ran an op. So who put Mifsud in play? You don't know, do you?
I do not know that. I can't give you the
answer. For years, you had years to find out the answer to what Mr. Jordan said was the seminal question, and you don't have it. And it just begs the question whether or not you were really trying to find that out. Because it's one thing to criticize the FBI for their FISA violations, to write a report. They've been criticized in plenty of reports. Some have referred to your work as just a repackaging and regurgitation of what the Inspector General already told us.
Gates isn't the Attorney General. All right, let's go to calls. First, I want to speak with Alex in Virginia. Alex in Virginia, what's on your mind this evening?
Meanwhile, in the Hall of Justice, the info warriors are plotting the next moves to uncover those dastardly villains. Look, it's quite simple. Draining the swamp, okay, it most likely starts with Obama. Once you start uncovering all of that and all the mishaps and everything into the 2020 election, then you follow into Biden. Then you start voiding out those pardons. Then you start dealing with all those people. Eventually, the Epstein files will come into play because that will lead other governments, all types of politicians and governments all around the world. My thing is that if that was to happen, then of course they would press that red button. What do you think?
Yeah. You know, when you said that it goes back to Obama, I was thinking to myself, just kind of comically, oh no, man, it all goes back to Eve in the Garden of Eden. because this corruption is so abundantly saturated. And look, I don't believe any of the people who are suggesting that this whole Epstein play by Trump is 4D, 5D, 8D chess, because he's the president of the United States now. He's got the Senate. He's got the House, apparently, supposedly. He's got the administration, certainly the heads of all of them, and he could just release them. So there's some reason he doesn't want to do it, one or the other, probably because it implicates Israel at a time where we feel that Israel is really important to us to protect the dollar. And also because I'm sure the Democrats, just as they made up the entire Russia collusion hoax, certainly did everything within their power that they possibly could fathom to integrate and get Trump's name involved in these Epstein files all over the place. And I'm sure that Trump saw that and thought, this is disgusting that they did this. None of this is credible. So we're not going to release it because there's no real list. There's no credible list. If I'm on it, then the whole thing might as well be fake because I know I didn't do anything. So there's no list. I'm not releasing it. That's what I think happened. And the way that he handled it was abysmal and atrocious, and it was just really a disaster over the course of the last 6 months in terms of a PR play. But I just don't think we're going to get much else on the Epstein thing. Maybe we will in 50 years when our great-grandchildren want to know. But Epstein is no JFK, and I don't think people are going to push hard for 80 years. They need to push hard for the next 3 years. This is our chance to destroy the deep state. This is our chance to stop the incessant lies. And it's not just about our political leaders or our political influencers or certain voices or political dissidents. I mean, they lie to us on every single front you can possibly imagine. They lie to our children. They lie to us when we go to the doctor. They lie to you when you go to your lawyer. They lie to us on the news. They lie to us when we watch movies. They lie to us when we listen to music. They lie to us on social media when we're scrolling through taking a crap. They lie to us when we're lying in bed scrolling through trying to fall asleep. They alienate, isolate, and lie to us about everything. If you want proof, let's just look at clip 47 here. If you want proof, this is a 1982 CBS News segment featuring a 34-year-old Al Gore predicting that 25% of Florida will be covered in water. Let's watch.
Concern about rising temperatures on planet Earth heated up a hearing here in Washington today. For years, scientists have theorized about the dangers of the so-called greenhouse effect, the warming of the Earth's atmosphere due to the burning of coal and oil. And in recent months, as David Culhane reports, research has uncovered facts to support that theory.
Many scientists claim that the temperature of the Earth's atmosphere has been rising over the past 100 years, that the great sheets of pack ice in Antarctica are melting at a much more rapid rate than previously. And finally, that the sea level has been rising with increasing swiftness over the past 40 years. If these scientists are correct, about 25% of Florida would be flooded sometime in the next century, along with low-lying areas all over the world. Climate changes could produce widespread disruption of agriculture. The American farm belt might be too dry, and the wheat and corn crops would have to move to Canada. Scientists blame the odorless, colorless carbon dioxide gas for these potentially dangerous changes around the planet. It is the greenhouse effect. The gas allows sunlight to filter down and warm the earth. But like the glass of a greenhouse, the carbon dioxide tends to trap heat so that it cannot rise into space. The scientists maintain that the coal, oil, and gas we've been burning for 100 years have produced more and more carbon dioxide and helped overheat the earth.
We are not doing the kind of research
He's
that
my
we
age
should
in this
be
video.
Doing
this is
to
wild.
Determine whether or not these scientists who are so alarmed are correct in their assessment.
This computer model simulates Arctic ice. Scientists are trying to predict the rate at which it will melt.
Would you let that guy watch your kids?
Make the oceans rise.
All right, you get it. They lie. They use infographics. They get credible scientists on to prop up the lie. They get political leaders on to prop up the lie. And then when they can't buy out and control the political leaders and all the influencers, and they just put them on lists and they spy on them. That's what happens. Let's go to Don in Florida. Don in Florida, what do you think tonight, sir?
My girlfriend was at a party with Mickey Rourke and Trump, 1989, Mickey Rourke had just opened a new club off of Ocean right by the Warsaw, which was a hotspot for nightlife and exotic stuff. Anyway, models Nikki Taylor and Chrissy Taylor were also there, who were aged 14 and 11.
Yeah.
Sadly, Chrissy Taylor is now dead. She died 6 years later.
Was Ivanka there?
Nikki Taylor.
I guess she wouldn't be. Ivanka wasn't even born yet, or she wouldn't have been 11 back then, would she?
She would have been around that age. So
Ivanka had some friends there, it sounds like.
No, they're actually models, because Trump was using the whole fame and fortune thing to get models to basically do their stuff. So there were a couple of socialites, Tara Solomon and Robbie Radical, were basically, they had a publication called Postmortem, and they were the people that you should look into. In fact, Robbie Radical even wrote a book about his 80s and all the parties and all the people they knew. So basically, Mickey Rourke had just opened a new club. Trump was there doing drugs, and the teenage models were being passed around, if you know what I mean.
And your girlfriend saw all this?
She was there. She was only 16, and she was also forced to participate in those activities.
Well,
there were about 15 people on a rooftop, half were guys, half were girls. And the other guy, you know, it was Trump and three others were engaged in the sexual activities. The other guys were just sitting around, you know, taking drugs. But there was, like, cocaine everywhere. I mean, it was the 80s. So, but she was there, and that's why she gave me all those names. You can look up Bobby Radical. He's on Facebook and talk to him about it. I mean, there are names. There are people that organize. It was called the Black Cat.
Look,
it was an underground sex
I can
club
tell.
That
I can
around.
Tell that you're a really nice person, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way, because I don't have a problem with you or with your girlfriend, but I just don't believe you. I don't think you're lying.
Check into it.
Yeah, I'll look into it. I just don't think it's true. In fact, I want the crew to pull up the clip of Theo Von when he had Donald Trump on his podcast, and Theo Von was talking to him about how he had a cocaine problem, and Trump responded. Let's find that clip and show that. And please, Don, don't take this as any disrespect whatsoever. I just find it incredibly hard to believe.
Yeah, we'll check it out. I mean,
okay.
There's plenty of people. And Mickey Rourke, that's what he did. He opened a club. It was like a tattoo parlor / biker bar, and it was right across the street from the Warsaw. Look up the Warsaw. Look at what history they have.
Okay.
Those are the kind of parties they were throwing.
Yeah, I'll take a look into it. In fact, if you have an X account, send me a direct message with some of those notes or details, and I will definitely look into it. Thanks for your call, Don. I appreciate that. Let's go to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew in New Jersey, here's you live on the air.
Want to ask you about The Big Short. I refuse to watch it. But first, let me say with Mandami in New York, that could very well be fabricated fake news on his part, that there's these so-called emails. There was a YouTuber, this attractive young woman who's Pakistani descent, and she said, look, I got this racist email. Someone said, go back to Pakistan and Africa, so I'll give you a geography lesson. But she doesn't actually show the email. They just have a shot of her looking at her computer screen. So, and also, my mom is into Andre Bocelli, the singer, and he's blind.
Of course.
And Sarah Brightman comes out, supposedly unbeknownst to him, and does a duet. And he just supposedly doesn't know why the audience is reacting. And I said, Mom, they probably staged this. They probably did a sound check earlier. And last example, my wife didn't like it because she likes Costco, and the YouTuber is supposedly not affiliated with Costco. And I would say, no, this is produced by Costco. I could see how it's supposed to look like a cell phone, but I have a videography, filmmaking. You know, I see the techniques and the effects. So it's probably fake, what Mandami, he's just virtue singer. And lastly, with The Big Short, I was mad because there was no Obama, Senator Obama. The Democrats pushed for subprime loans. That was Clinton
yeah,
that did away with
it. It was really
the
Clinton.
Vehicle.
Clinton really yep. did it because everybody deserves to have a home. That was the American dream. So we're going to make it possible for people to have these subprime loans.
And 17 times.
And that's exactly what the left does. What they do is they sell you on something morally or emotionally, and then what the thing actually is often does, if not the opposite, great harm. I mean, you know how harmful it is to people to sell them a home they can't afford, charge them $500 a month for their mortgage for the first 24 months, and then have it ramp up to $3,000 a month out of nowhere when they have no contract or real estate literacy whatsoever. They have no idea.
And then it was Republicans that fought against it, and they said, well, why didn't Bush stop it? Well, he didn't just say, I have a pen and a phone. They 17 times put forth legislation. And at the time, I looked it up, usgov.org. Senator Obama, then, he was the number one bundler of Fannie and Freddie money. He said he didn't have a problem with those loans. Then he gets elected, and he's like, we put legislation sweeping. Yeah, but you're the one that supported. He said people shouldn't have gotten loans, that they didn't have the good credit or money for the down payment. Yeah, but you supported people
It's true from a purely political argument. Oh, everyone has a right to make mistakes, but these policies have massive implications. Massive implications, and you have to know that if you're going to do something, there's going to be a number of people who are harmed by it.
But the fake news was able to flip it and put it on the Republicans.
Well, yeah, George Bush was president at the time, and Obama comes in, and he does the exact same thing, but instead of doing it with the housing market, he does it with health care, where he says, now because of the Affordable Care Act, everyone's going to be able to have health care, and you can't be denied based on your pre-existing condition. And everyone loved it, and you're going to be able to keep your own doctor. And then what ended up happening is they put a law in place that doesn't allow the health insurance companies to make more than 10 or 15 or 20% above the cost of care. They price capped it. So what do the health insurance agencies do now? They look for every excuse they can to ensure that health care is as expensive as possible because they can only make a certain percentage more than that cost. That's why healthcare costs in the United States of America are astronomical. That's why we pay thousands more for some drugs than other countries. That's why they don't want you taking things like ivermectin. That's why your premiums go up by 10 or 20 or 30% every single year, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. It's because of the Affordable Care Act from our caring leaders. As if they care whatsoever about your health while our water's being packed with atrazine and fluoride to the point where we're retarded. That's what's happening. They're putting food dye that's totally unnecessary in all the food so our kids develop learning disabilities and ADD and ADHD. And I know that ADD and ADHD are probably made up, but certain symptoms are totally exacerbated by, I don't know, pumping everything full of high fructose corn syrup so that we can meet the same levels of demand for corn that we had during World War II. You realize that's what happened with the food pyramid, right? We had World War II. We were just producing agriculture, shipping it overseas. Agriculture, overseas. War ends. Demand goes away. What do we do? I guess let's just stop using sugar, replace it with high fructose corn syrup, put it in everything. Then the farmers won't take a hit now that the war is finally over. And here we are, folks, just riddled with diabetes, mental health issues. I mean, this is one of the reasons that Donald Trump got elected. Was because of RFK Jr., because of the Make America Healthy Again plan. And look, we've seen some bad things come out about approvals for vaccinations, mRNA vaccinations, for children only 6 months old, if they have very serious illnesses. And that's disheartening. And we've seen pushback against RFK, and he's made some remarks that seem to be a total reversal of everything he's ever said or written about. And there was rumors going around that he was blackmailed earlier. Those kind of vanished, but that was a big story about 6 months ago. I don't know if it's true. I don't care. Still like him. Name my daughter Kennedy, for God's sake. But we want real change here in the United States. We want a healthy, intelligent civilization that actually has and celebrates its own culture, not white culture, but Western American culture. We want our own borders. We want our own justice system to do just things. We want our own law enforcement to enforce the law. We want our military to be a defense apparatus rather than an offense apparatus. To defend us in the event of a war rather than to wage a war. We want our politicians to represent us. We want our president to be of the people, for the people, by the people. Not of the political class, by the political class, for the political class. Certainly not for any other leader of the world over. Did you guys ever find that Theo Von clip I asked you for? And my hope and prayer is that we can get to the point where the Trump administration feels the pressure enough to give us what we demand. I mean, it's a shame that when we think about history, we think about examples of the people or the crowd making a demand and then political leaders obeying that demand despite their own corruption. Look at the story of Barabbas in the Bible of Jesus Christ. The entire crowd demands the release of the murderer Barabbas instead of Jesus Christ. They crucified Jesus Christ instead of this maniac, Barabbas. And then Pontius Pilate allows it to happen. But then when a crowd actually calls for something noble, something just, like ending corruption in the intelligence community that is stealing our money via taxation and funding massive human trafficking operations all over the world and then covering it up, we hear nothing. Like, we've talked a lot about Epstein, but the crew did find that clip. I just don't think that Donald Trump was doing cocaine in 1989 with 14-year-old girls. Let's watch.
Well, how did... No, I would just do cocaine. That was really... Well, yeah, so not just... Quick. Yeah.
That's down and dirty, right?
Yeah, and this is, yeah, this, I mean, it was, yeah.
You don't anymore?
No, I don't do it anymore, man, and I'm not doing
it. Is it too much? Too much to handle?
Some of the stuff started to get a real rattle in it, too. I don't know where we were even getting it from in this country, but, yeah, it started to make me feel like I was a mechanic or something.
So the thing you go back to, then, is alcohol for the most part.
Right, yeah, but what I want probably is cocaine, but I know that if I have a drink, then it'll give me, it'll like be like, okay, well, I had a drink, then I can do this.
Is cocaine a stronger up?
Yeah.
Wouldn't he know that if he'd done it? I don't think he's just covering here.
Anything else you can think of.
Cocaine will turn you into a damn owl, homie, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You'll be out on your own porch, you know?
Yeah.
You'll be your own street lamp. You're freaking...
And is that a good feeling? Well,
no,
it's horrible. A miserable feeling.
But you do it anyway, just like the guy you're saying with the
scotch.
He
would just ask him something else.
Like you,
if he knew the answer.
That it could withstand this.
Yeah, it's a body. Your eyes are so resilient. Yeah,
so I don't know what's going on with the Don in Florida. Yeah, like I said, I don't want to disrespect the man because there's any number of reasons why you could be mistaken. And I could be wrong. But I just don't believe that's a man who knows what cocaine's like. And people say, oh, he could just be lying there, pretend he doesn't know. He doesn't need to lie or pretend that he doesn't know. He could have just moved on. That's a different question. It just seemed very natural and honest to me, folks. It did. Stay with us. More calls, more news and analysis on the other side of this very short break. And for the love of God, go to the alexjonesstore.com. We don't have cocaine, but we have methylene blue, and it will light you up like a street lamp in your own front yard. Go now.
Announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I am beyond excited about this. I've wanted this knife for a year. It's super high quality. They finally got the right supplier and a bunch of them. It's in a beautiful keepsake black box with my signature in silver lettering on the top. And when you go inside, this incredible combat battle dagger, limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger, a high-tech, super high quality sheath with a high-tech clip under your belt or your pants, and it's got a special system where the knife doesn't come out when it's upside down. It takes a little pull to get it out. It is amazing. This is, in my opinion, the very best defense battle dagger you can get. It's an incredible price for $79.99 right now. This knife by itself in store sells for $100 every day, but we bought 5,000 of them, so got the price down really low. Wholesale, so we can pass that on to you, and the profit we make goes in to fund this operation. So you don't just get a great defensive system for yourself and your family, great in your car, great on your side, great in your purse, your glove compartment, also skin a buck with it, whatever you need. This is an amazing knife. You not only, though, get something to defend yourself, you defend the Republic in the information war by funding this operation. So get your limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and it keeps this operation on the air. This isn't just a blade, it's a symbol of freedom. The limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger is forged by patriots ready to defend the Republic from the globalist agenda. Featuring a double-edged black-coated blade for unmatched durability and precision, this dagger is built to last. On one side, side is X, my signature, while the other side proudly bears 1776, a reminder that the spirit of revolution lives on stronger than ever. With its ergonomic, non-slip grip designed ready for any mission, the dagger isn't just a tool, it's a statement. Whether you're adding it to your collection or keeping it close as a symbol of resistance and for defense, this blade is for those who know that the answer in 1984 is 1776. Get yours now. And then, we are announcing a limited sale, the Power Drive Bundle of Power Plant and Methyl Drive, which goes incredibly good with Methylene Blue. And both of these give you incredible natural energy, clarity, and focus. But you mix them together with Methylene Blue, I will tell you, in Chase Geyser's observation himself, 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Did you hear what I just said? 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Get yours now, discounted massively, 50% off when you get them together. 50% off on the Power Drive Bundle for a limited time, 1 week, at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds this operation, 1776 worldwide. Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list, your text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution. You are the solution. You're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification. That is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the InfoWar is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
The war for tomorrow begins tonight with your host, Chase Geyser.
What's happened since then is you now have six companies, six large multinationals that control every radio station in America and all of the television stations in America and 80% of the newspapers. The television news departments have become corporate profit centers. They no longer have an obligation to benefit the American public. So their only obligation is to their shareholders. How do they satisfy that obligation? By expanding viewership so they can sell more ad space. How do you expand viewership? Why, you do that by appealing to the prurient interest that all of us have in the reptilian core of our brain for sex and celebrity gossip. So they give us Lacey Peterson, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jackson, and lots of terror alerts, because that gets viewership as well. But they're not telling us the real news that is affecting people in this country. The fact that today, one out of every six American women now has so much mercury in her womb that her children are at risk for a grim inventory of diseases.
And he's absolutely right. The mainstream media is totally conglomerated, and it applies to Fox News. I mean, we knew years before they fired Tucker Carlson that they'd fallen, if they were ever even honest. But now, I was told by the crew that Levin has Mike Johnson on right now. These are two of my least favorite people. And I just want to tune in for a second, see what they're saying. But I have a feeling, I haven't seen it yet, I have a feeling that within 30 seconds to a minute and a half, we're going to see exactly why nobody watches mainstream media anymore.
Levin.
Welcome back, America. We're here with
his name
Speaker
is bigger
Mike
than
Johnson.
Life and liberty.
So Speaker Johnson,
on that logo, by the way.
When I ended the last,
you segment, like life, you like liberty. Well,
what do you make
I'm
of the
better.
Fact that the Democrat Party? I mean, we're talking about the biggest city in America, the biggest financial center in the world, and they're about to hand it over to a Marxist, Islamist, anti-Semite.
There you go.
And I don't
there
see
you go.
A lot of
right there in the first 15 seconds. Can you shut the hell up? Oh my God, he's like a broken record. Oh, Mike Johnson just caters to it, just eases in. Republican from Louisiana. central casting for the next Jeffrey Epstein movie. Unbelievable. And I don't even know what he's saying, but he's got to be going right in to our commitment to our relationship with Israel. Let's hear a little bit more. Turn it up.
The contrast here is so clear, and the lack of vision that they have equally clear. There's no platform, no principle, nothing they can run on. They don't have a strong leadership here. They have no one to pull them back to the center, to common sense. And so we just stand here and present the truth. As I said on the floor and on the eve right before the vote on the big, beautiful bill, look, there's two parties here. One is into performance art, and the other party is here delivering results. And I am so happy and very bullish about the upcoming midterm election in 2026, because we will be able to go out to the people and show all this, demonstrate it, illustrate very clearly that there really is only one choice if you care about the future of the country. And we will be presenting that with bold colors, as our hero Ronald Reagan used to say.
And you're trying to address this. I mean, this big, beautiful bill. You've got school choice in there because the teachers.
This show is tomorrow's news tonight.
On education in this country, and that's where it starts.
Not covering
kindergarten right up, and we see the ideology.
A bill that was signed government TV and government radio. 2 weeks ago. They're talking about the big, beautiful bill as if anybody cares. I mean, just from a production standpoint, I'd be so pissed off if I was the producer of Mark Levin's so-called show. That now the InfoWars audience has seen parts of, and since we're not airing the audio anymore, the only person in the world listening to it is Donald Trump, and Mike Johnson's going up there, and he's just pretending to be so confident and calm and certain about the future and the midterms. Look, if we don't get justice on this Epstein stuff, we're going to have a real hard time in the midterms. We already have the momentum of history against us in terms of our odds. Usually when you elect a president of one party, the midterms are a compensation in the other direction. And many of the results of the things that Trump is doing are not going to be felt for maybe even years to come. Things like the Golden Dome takes 10 years to build that. Things like winning the artificial intelligence race. The AI Cold War that's taking place right now. It's going to take years to feel that. It's going to happen rapidly, too. I mean, there are going to be moments of it. But he's talking about the big, beautiful bill being the reason that Americans are going to support Republicans in the midterms. First of all, nobody is going to attribute the big, beautiful bill to people running in the midterms. They're going to attribute it to Trump. Second of all, no one's really going to feel the effects of it, I don't think, at least in the next 18 months, maybe somewhat. And third of all, no one has as much love for the big, beautiful bill as they have hate for the deep state. We've just seen the Trump administration fail to hold a major segment or part of that deep state accountable. Love Donald Trump, support him. Glad I voted for him, but that's a problem. And I think if we don't see people behind bars, whether it's the Faucis or the Clappers or the Brennans or the Obamas or the Comeys or the McCabes by the midterms, nobody's going to vote for the Republicans. And in fact, we have CNN coming out in all of their brilliance in saying that Elon Musk's third party is practically dead in the water. First of all, Elon Musk did not launch a third party. He launched a second one because we only have one now, the Uniparty. Second of all, he doesn't have to win to totally change the dynamic in politics. All he has to do is threaten one Republican state. And he can do that. Do you know how I know he can do that? Because when has Elon Musk ever said that he was going to do something, then been told by almost everyone that it was impossible, and then failed to accomplish what he said he was going to do? Never. And you're going to hear more about it. Let's go to John in Florida. John, what's on your mind?
Hey, Chase.
Hey, man.
Hey, look, I just wanted to put a couple plugs in, but I want to congratulate everybody down there at InfoWars, because I know damn well that Paul Harvey's looking over the portholes of heaven, and he's so proud of y'all, he can't hardly stand it.
But, I love that.
I'm 71 years old, and I'm not in good health. And I started taking Alex Jones products about maybe 6 months ago, and I started taking methylene blue, and it's working for this old man, Chase. It's a notch up from what I was.
Will you say that last bit one more time, sir?
Methylene blue has helped me tremendously.
Oh, great.
I have come up a notch since I started taking, and I'm telling you,
it'll make now, you feel like an owl on your own porch, a street lamp in your front yard.
It helps, especially when you're in bad shape like this old man.
Yeah.
But anyways, I want to tell you all how much y'all are doing such a fantastic job. Don't ever give up.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And thank you for calling and for your support. And I'm glad that you've had a good experience with methylene blue. That stuff's just incredible. Let's go to Josh in Canada. Josh in Canada, what's on your mind? Yes, you're live on the air.
Yep, sorry, I was on speaker. Had to get it off.
That's okay.
I got one for you that I haven't heard come up yet. So I started taking the methylene blue.
Go ahead.
I was hoping for the Palpatine love.
But, yeah, the Palpatine love. Getting,
yeah. Brain fog gone. Perfect on that one. One thing I haven't heard brought up yet, I've got glaucoma. My vision has been crap for the last 20 years.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's perfect now.
What?
Yeah.
How long have you been taking methylene blue? First of all, for folks, we can't make any medical claims. Talk to your doctor, but how long have you been taking it?
5 days. After 3 days, perfect vision.
No kidding.
Depth perception's back. And, yeah, I don't have to hold my phone at my hip to read it.
Wow.
Like, it's crazy.
Well, I'm really happy to hear that, man. Is there anything else on your mind? What do you think about Trump so far?
Was loving Trump as long as he fixes this Epstein crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Up until that point, yeah. And now I'm stuck with, Mark Carney because, 51st State Perp.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Mark Carney, though, I got a feeling that guy's going to go away. Thank you for calling in, Josh.
I really hope he does.
I appreciate you. Let's go to Donna in Pennsylvania. Donna in Pennsylvania, you are live on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Excellent. Hey, I started watching Alex when you just came on board, I don't know, 2 years back.
Yeah.
And you were in and out of the background. I was like, damn, he's so good. So congratulations where you are.
Thanks.
That's why I'm here. And the second thing I'm going to board. Oh, your crew. Dude, I would love a session to really hear your crew. They are in the know. And I bet they're funny as hell, too. But excellent job, and I just want to congratulate them. The second bullet I want, I'm America First, PHL, in the chat, if anybody's wondering. But, the second thing is the methylene blue. That's it. Somebody called in a guy about alcoholism and how it helped him. I have been battling that for 50 years. So I have been in and out of a lot of stuff. I'm mostly successful, but it was always an obsession of my mind.
Yeah.
It took it away. It took it away. He was right. He said it took it, the obsession of thought, away. And I'm so grateful.
Well, look, the fact of the matter is when you feel better, you don't feel inclined to do drugs. If you feel good, if you're happy and you got energy and you feel sharp, you don't feel inclined to do drugs.
But from an alcoholic, only an alcoholic knows, okay?
Yeah.
So that be said, it scared me the first day because it I could hear the electricity. See, what happens when you drink too much alcohol or weed or whatever, your neurological reading between the right side and left side of the brain go numb. So I believe what was happening was that the connection between both sides of my brain, so the electricity, I could hear it. And it was I had to skip it the second day. The third day, I backed down. So I want to say this to people. If you are seeing out, because I'm also a nutritionist. I know, ironic as an alcoholic, but a nutritionist. If you are peeing out blue, that means your body doesn't need it. You're getting rid of it, so you're wasting it. So back down. And then just take it slower. And believe me, that's just a godsend. So
yeah.
Let me just be so third point, because you were really up on international news. So I watch a lot of Moscow, Russia. I listen to Iran. It gets aggravating listening to Iran, by the way, with their jihad doing or whatever. But every leader is speaking the same thing. They do not trust our president anymore because we're supporting BB, a.k.a. Polish man, Mielkowski, M-I-L-E-K-O-W.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Here's why that's wrong. For every president has supported Israel. The reason that the globalist international leaders don't trust Donald Trump is because they're supervillains. Does the Penguin trust Superman? Does the Joker trust Batman? Does Dr. Octopus trust Spider-Man? They don't trust him because he's not of their ilk. He's not their kin. And I'm going to go to Dave in a second. Not quite yet in FEMA Region 9, because I want to talk about information in the spiritual war. And we had a caller just a couple callers ago say that we're doing Paul Harvey proud. And I just wanted to air this before I take a call about information in the spiritual war.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of deception, I'd want to shroud the world in unyielding darkness. I'd seize control over the lands and masses, but I wouldn't be satisfied until I had quashed the boldest voice of truth, InfoWars. So I'd work meticulously to control the world. I'd target platforms like InfoWars first. I'd initiate a campaign of silence. With the subtlety of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, believe only what you're told. To the young, I would whisper, InfoWars is a fake news conspiracy theory network. I would convince them that man needs no alternate perspectives, no dissenting voices, no questions against the status quo. I would assure them that InfoWars is false, and what's approved is true. And the old, I would teach to say after me, Our Father, which art in censorship. If I were the devil, I'd soon have people at war with InfoWars, platforms at war with free speech, and nations at war with freedom of thought until each in its turn was uniform. If I were the devil, I would undermine platforms like InfoWars from being a refuge for the inquisitive until before you knew it, you'd have suppression and censorship at every door. Soon, I'd have unity and misinformation. I'd have influential figures promoting a single narrative. Soon, I could evict InfoWars from social media, then from search engines, and then from the homes of patriots. I would lure society into believing only one perspective, dismissing InfoWars as falsehood. And what do you bet I could get whole states to promote uniformity as progress? I would convince the young that independent platforms are outdated, that compliance is more comfortable, that what you see in the mainstream media is the only perspective. In other words, if I were the devil, I wouldn't want you to visit infowars.com/show today.
Dave, in FEMA Region 9, you are live on the air. Sir, what do you think?
Thanks, Brother Chase. As you know, proud VIP members out here in Arizona, FEMA Region 9. We've got double subscriptions of the methylene blue, and we love it.
Awesome.
And I'm glad, too, when you had that caller on that was talking about President Trump up on the rooftop, the Rumble crew, especially Interlord, were going nuts. They were like, please don't let him feed more rope to this guy. Cut him off. So thanks for doing what you did there.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you. So to jump into my topic, as you know, it's an information war, a spiritual war, and I'm sure that it's a kinetic war already. We see 100,000 of our American citizens, and I'm American citizens first is my platform. We see 100,000 of them die every year of fentanyl poisoning, and that's not going to stop anytime soon. Now, the last week was kind of bittersweet, right, when we see the information that we all inherently knew. We saw the stuff from the Durham report, even though it was a big, you know, double patty, nothing burger. But we did see the August 3rd, 2016 White House a meeting where everybody talked about taking Hillary's dirty dossier and turning it against President Trump. But I say it's bittersweet because I think it shows that we have actually lost our republic. Of 335 million American citizens, there weren't even a handful to stand up against Obama and his ilk, let's say 20 people in the White House, to save our republic, and that was a decade ago. The coup was not against President Trump. The coup in 2024 was not against President Biden, puppet. It was against we, the people. So that's all noise. Here's the signal. What do we do to reclaim our republic? Because I don't think we can outcomply tyranny. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Well, if I knew that answer, I would tell you, and I ask myself that question every day. And the best thing that I could figure out for myself is that I could do everything I could to support Alex Jones and InfoWars. And I know that not everyone is in a position where they can come work at InfoWars, make content, host a show, help build social media, have an impact in that way. But everyone is in a position where they can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. And I'm not trying to be cheesy here and turn your question into a plug. But the only way that we can conquer lies is with the truth. And I fundamentally believe that InfoWars is more committed to the truth than anyone else. As a network, but Alex, even as an individual. And if there was someone more effective and more committed to the truth, some place like that, well, then I would quit and I would go work there. So I think the real answer is we all have to decide what we can do as individuals to fight against this. And I know it's not satisfying because we talk and we talk and we talk and we talk and then nothing happens. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. But that's just not true. It is kind of on the surface in a way true, but you realize that the reason that Donald Trump is the president of the United States instead of Kamala Harris is because X miraculously became a free speech platform again. It's because Twitter became X. Because Trump would not have been elected had Twitter remained Twitter and censored freedom of speech. So the truth got out. Everyone became aware of the lie. And even though they tried to steal this election, and they certainly cheated in this election, Kamala Harris, DNC. It was too big to rig just because of the truth. I agree with you. We can't outcomply this corruption. We probably can't even outvote it because the people aren't very good at electing the right officials even when the elections are honest. And the people that are causing the problem really aren't the elected officials. It's the bureaucrats. It's the higher up at the FBI that you've never heard of, or the CIA you've never heard of, or the NSA you've never heard of. And the president and our leaders probably haven't even heard of these people either. It's not the head of these institutions in many cases. Maybe it's someone three levels down. Maybe it's some siloed operation that the head doesn't even know about. And so, yes, I agree. We're not going to vote it away. But we could enlighten it away. We could have such a shift in our culture because of this awareness that we rise to the occasion. Because you see, every moment in history is a new occasion for humanity, and they each come with their own challenges and obstacles. The challenge of being a Roman after Caesar was assassinated is much different than the challenge of being an Englishman during the bubonic plague, or the challenge of being French under Napoleon, or the challenge of being Egyptian during the Arab Spring. The challenge of being an American on September 11th, 2001 is different from the challenge of being an American on July 20th of 2025. And this challenge that we're in, let me be specific, is our people and our government are all going to have unprecedented power, specifically in the information war. AI will be weaponized by the government, by the political elite, by the corporations in bed with the governments against the people, and the people will be fighting back with their own autonomous artificial intelligence against this misinformation. all while companies compete for you to use their tools. And so the information war is going to become abundantly more complicated because everyone is trying to buy up your attention. Like BlackRock is trying to buy up real estate. We got, Nick Sorter was on air earlier today. He launched a new show on InfoWars called The InfoWars Sunday Briefing. And he was talking about how they're doing the exact same thing in Los Angeles that they did in Lahaina. Whole place gets wrecked. They don't allow anyone to get a permit. Then they go in and they buy it all up. Gavin Newsom's trying to buy up all the areas that were burned down to build affordable housing. And after they burn down our minds with this mindless entertainment, with the lies of the Levins and the Johnsons on Fox News and the Maddows and The View, after they burn us down, they're going to try to grab that real estate of our thoughts. See, they attack our speech because it's an expression of our thoughts. And once they erode that front, then they just go straight into your mind. There is a war on for your mind. And so to answer your question about what we do in this moment of our timeline as a species on the planet, it's inevitable that we're going to be given the ring of power. We can't deny it. We can't throw it in Mount Doom. That's not an option. It's happening. So what we have to do is become strong enough to bear it. We have to have conviction and faith. Because what this artificial intelligence is going to do is it's going to eradicate your faith in everything the political class doesn't want you to believe. And then it's going to replace it with a new false god. Just as God made us in his image, so we have made AI in our image. We should not trust it. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and be the reason that we can win this information war once and for all. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Tomorrow's News Tonight, and stay tuned for more.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, "Based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks." That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because that people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action. Now, the best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.